Oh, come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come into his presence with thanksgiving. Let us make a joyful noise to him with songs of praise. Let us pray now together a prayer for an autumn day. God of eternity, God of all years, of seasons and of days, with joy we lift up our litany of praise and thanksgiving. For the summer that is ended but not forgotten, for its gifts to our memories, enabling us to recollect the mystic mornings, the peaceful afternoons, and the sunset glories of an eventide.
We praise thee, O God.
For summer days of play and release from tension, for human friendships renewed and deepened, for family ties made strong and tender.
We praise thee, O God.
For moments of inspiration, for thoughts quickened by thy Spirit, for hours of meditation and consciousness of thee.
We praise thee, O God.
For the beauty of autumn days, gold in the meadow, scarlet in the woods, the blue of distance, for the autumn moon and the longer shining of the stars.
We thank thee, Lord.
For life itself and the work to sustain it, for the bounty of field and orchard, enough to care for us and enough to share with others.
We thank thee, Lord.
For the blessings of home and community, of country and church, for every gift of thy grace through Jesus Christ.
We thank thee, Lord.
The days are coming when the Advent song will stir our souls.
O come, Emmanuel.
The days are coming when the memory of his birth will bring comfort and peace to our hearts.
Peace on earth, goodwill to men.
The days are coming when we shall follow the star to the birthplace of our Savior and Lord.
The manger of Bethlehem, the cradles of King.
Morning, afternoon, and night,
help us, O God, to redeem these autumn days of wonder and of joy. By loving service, by faithful witness, by obedient commitment of our lives to thee, in the name of Christ. Amen.
Let us pray. Our Father, we're conscious only of some of thy gifts and bounties which thou hast allowed us. We confess we are not more worthy than others who have less. In the face of this, help us to be thankful and eager to share. Of our failures to do either of these at times, we ask thy forgiveness. For those worshiping here today, whose circumstances make it difficult for them to be thankful just now, we pray also. For those facing personal crisis and those making decisions for the far-reaching future, we ask thy wisdom to guide them. Our Father, we can hardly hope to be worthy ever to be called thy people. We ask thee not to forsake us as we try. It is not easy for us to discover how to be and to become thy people. As we look to the coming season, the advent of thy Son, thy gift to the world, we confess to mixed feelings. What understanding we have of its spiritual meaning warms us inside. but the superficial and the commercializing of which we are a part, this chills us. Guide us now as we worship, and guide us in our trouble. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
This morning, I would like to share with you briefly a history of the Advent, which is the first season of the Christian church year. It seems appropriate to us today to consider this subject, since Advent begins this coming Sunday in the Western world. Traditionally, Baptists and other free churches have not given much attention to the historical Christian year in its entirety, but have emphasized only certain aspects of it, namely Christmas and Easter. However, churches which practice liturgical worship follow the Christian year completely, which includes Advent, Christmas, Lent, Holy Week, Easter, Pentecost, and other special days and seasons. The celebration of Advent in the Western world was instituted toward the close of the 5th century in Gaul, Spain, and Italy. The term was first understood as referring to the birth of Christ, and so the Advent season was a time of preparation for Christmas. In the Western world, Advent began with the first Sunday in December, and in the East, the Sunday after St. Martin, which is the second Sunday in November. The term Adventus was also taken in the wider sense of the coming of Christ and the Last Judgment. With it also was connected the notion of the coming of the Kingdom of Heaven. In the medieval church, the Advent season was a time of fasting and repentance. The whole season from Advent to the Octave of Epiphany was a tempus clausum until the Council of Trent, which took off the last week. In the Roman Church, Advent still has the character of a penitential season. With the adoption of the medieval church calendar, the Protestants also accepted the Advent season and its lessons. Thus, the season retained its double character. First, a preparation for the Christmas festival, and second, a contemplation of the different ways of the coming of Christ. Since it has become customary to separate the civil and the Christian church year, the first Sunday of Advent has been dignified as a solemn beginning of the new church year. These various relations of the first Sunday of Advent and the whole Advent season explain the variety of the contents of the Advent hymns and prayers. It is not therefore surprising that emphasis upon the Christian year is common to all forms of Christian traditional worship and has especially in the East a deep mystical significance. Perhaps we in the Western world, and particularly in the free church tradition, have not recognized the value in observing the Christian year. Therefore, let us today be challenged to give more attention to this aspect of our Christian heritage, and thus enabling this Christian year to become a vehicle, or another vehicle, through which the truth of God can break through to us.
Hear the word of our Lord. I showed you that it is our duty to help the weak in this way, by hard work, and that we should keep in mind the words of our Lord Jesus, who himself said, "Happiness
lies more in giving than in receiving. Did you notice the different way the words of Jesus are translated in the New English Bible version? One of the axioms of human experience is that it is, to quote the more familiar version, more blessed to give than to receive. Despite cynical disclaimers, you and I have had enough experience and deep satisfaction which comes from generous, unpublicized giving to know that this is true. To give is to live deeply and joyously. To give ourselves away for the sake of others, to our country in her need, to the cause of world peace in our time, and to advance Christian causes. This is life with a capital L. At Christmas time, a small child would like for his parents, grandparents, aunts and uncles, and older friends keep saying that verse of Scripture, "It is more blessed to give than to receive." They want us to have the blessing which comes from giving Christmas gifts to them. But Advent or Christmas never genuinely invades us as a divine grace unless we realize the other side of this truth. It is blessed to receive. No human personality never grows into wholeness unless there is giving and receiving. Receiving is blessed because it meets our elemental need to be noticed. Others notice that I exist. I am a person in the making. I have some rights and talents. Receiving meets our needs to be nurtured. We are interdependent creatures, and I am reminded of what John Donne wrote, "No man is an island entire of itself." Receiving also enables us to fulfill our need to be needed. The Christian gospel points out that God's gift of Jesus Christ must be received. When this gift is received, God notices us. God nourishes us. And God gives notice upon us that he needs us also. Did you ever think that perhaps there might be a sound spiritual reason for Thanksgiving, Advent, and Christmas all being so close together? Thanks be to God for his gift beyond words. For it is by his grace you are saved, through trusting him. It is not your own doing. It is God's gift, not a reward for work done. Amen.
Let us pray. Our Father, as we live the present, and as we look forward to the future, the days, the seasons immediately before us, help us in our minds and in our hearts to separate the truth from the trivial. For Jesus' sake.